And you may be seated.
Guys, I knew all the words in warm-up. I don't know where they went, but they're gone. Praise the Lord. Well, just goes to show you your pastor's not perfect. I know. Just bursted all that those bubbles. You probably won't even be received to me tonight. You thought, man, I just thought if there was anyone just like Jesus, it was him. Of course, I hope you hear the sarcasm in my voice tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can open to Galatians 6. Oh, Lord, we thank you for a worship leader. Hallelujah. Galatians 6. It's coming. It's a coming. Galatians 6. Well, let's pray. Father, we're just so grateful for your mercy. You're so kind to us, Lord. You're so good to us. We just thank you for peace and for joy. Father, we thank you for how wonderful you are to us to give us Jesus and how simple you've made it to be accepted by him. And Lord, we're honored to know you, Father God. And that is our heart's cry, to know you more. And Father, we thank you for the word tonight. Lord, people came out a cold night, worked all day, Father God, have things to do. They came out to hear the word. Bless them, Father. Make it worth their time tonight, Lord. And we know it will be. We go from glory to glory. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Galatians 6 and verse 8. Many people are unaware that there's two realms on planet Earth. And a lot of people are just aware of the one realm, which is the natural realm. And that natural realm is the realm we live in, of course, the realm we see, the realm we feel, touch, taste, hear, smell, all those good things. But there's another realm that exists that's just as real, if not more real. We just can't see it with our mind. And that's the spiritual realm. And it's the spiritual realm that determines what our natural realm looks like. What do I mean by that? Well, even going way back, it was that spiritual realm that created the realm that you can see. The realm that you can see, the Bible says, is passing away. And, you know, we can see some of those things. Things, you know, get old and things like that. But the spirit realm always stays brand new and fresh, and glory to God. But not only is that realm real because that realm created this realm, that realm will determine where your blessings come from. What do I mean by that? If you're thriving in that unseen spiritual realm, you'll thrive in the seen realm. A lot of things that manifest in the natural realm didn't start from the natural realm. The root of the problem or the root of the blessing came from the spiritual realm. It's like when somebody's struggling in the spiritual realm, you can't fight that battle from a natural realm, even though the problem may manifest with poverty. Even though the problem may manifest with a sickness, it doesn't mean that you battle that thing in the natural realm. You got to go to the root of the issue. You got to get to the heart of the problem, which is the spiritual realm. So my heart as a pastor is to get you to thrive in that spiritual realm. And Galatians 6 and verse 8 says this, "He that soweth to his flesh." Now the flesh, that's the natural realm. Do you see that? The flesh you can touch it, the carnal natural realm that we live in. "For he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap" what? Corruption. Well, that corruption manifests in the natural realm. "But he that soweth to the Spirit," well, there's that Spirit word, that realm that you can't see. You can't see in the Spirit unless God permits you to see in the Spirit. It's one of the nine manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit. It's called the discerning of spirits. And that's as the Lord wills, you know, he'll give that to people at times where they can see into the spiritual realm. They can see demons, they can see angels, they can see Jesus, they can see different things in that realm. Well, we just can't turn that on and off. That's as the Spirit wills. If we could, maybe we would a lot more, maybe we would a lot less, depending on some of the things we'd see. But it says, "He that sows to that realm," that unseen realm, "shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." Well, that life everlasting, not only does that manifest in the realm of heaven, but it manifests on this earth too as well. We know that God wants the blessings to manifest on this earth. He said, "Pray that the will of God would be done as it is in heaven, as it is on the earth." God desires for us to have days of heaven on earth. We know that. Well, that won't manifest if we're sowing in the wrong realm. And you might not know this, but every single day you wake up, every single day you go to work, every single day you open your mouth, you're sowing seeds. Your actions every day are sowing seeds into something. And my just the dumb way that I think if you're going to sow, you might as well sow to the good.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if you're given some money, if you're from somebody, and they're telling you, you don't want you to invest that money for me, if you know one thing's a sure bet, you know one thing's going to fail and lose all their money, it just seems simple to me to sow into the right realm.
Right.
To sow into the one that's going to yield a big return or a big harvest. Hallelujah. Well, that's just the way I think. Just seems normal. Seems way to do that. So sowing seeds, and seeds always have an eventual harvest.
Right. Amen.
See, that's why it's sweet. And you think about words. Jesus said in Matthew, I believe it's 12:37. He said, by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you'll be condemned. What's he saying? That when you speak, you're sowing seeds. And eventually it's going to come to a harvest of condemnation or justification. Well, it's the same thing with anything. You know, your actions, everything you do every single day, you're sowing into some realm that will produce some kind of a harvest. Whether it's a worthless harvest, whether it's a negative harvest, whether it's a kind of a good or a really good harvest, you're sowing into some realm. Always sowing into some realm. And examples of sowing to the natural realm. Again, I'm just going to point these things out. Now, we're not trying to get into legalism here tonight. We're not trying to get into religion. We're just pointing out some facts.
Amen.
Examples of sowing in the natural realm are, what do you do with the majority of your time? Now, you say, well, I work a job. That takes up... Well, God told you to work, so that's not wrong. God told you to get a job. He said, if you don't work, you don't eat. Praise God. That's what he said. And so it's a godly thing to work. Of course, if you're able to do that, I'm not talking, talking the wrong ways. People, I'm just not going to work. I'm going to stay home and do nothing. That's wrong. You know, sometimes people have limitations. They can't work. But, you know, if you can work, the Bible says you ought to. And it said, and so what are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your energy? What are you doing with your money? What are you doing with your thought life? Every day you're sowing into these realms. And a lot of people, the majority of their sowing is sowing into the natural realm. Sowing into carnal things of their flesh. Sowing into things that, and again, a little bit of sowing in some places isn't a bad thing. What do I mean by that? Well, let's just take one, and this is not a discourse or a sermon against television. But let's just use that as an example. In all honesty, if we were to be honest, the majority of the things we watch on TV, what do they do for your life? Nothing. The football game that I'll spend 3 hours watching, or the movie that I'll spend 3 hours, followed by the football game, 5 hours of television, what is that producing in my life? Really nothing. Now, am I saying it's wrong? No. The Bible says the Lord's given us all things to enjoy. Right? Sometimes it's just nice to have mindless entertainment. You know, you're busy, just relaxing. So we're not saying it's wrong to watch a movie. We're not saying it's wrong to watch television. But be aware that you're sowing into a realm. Right? Be aware that hobbies are not a bad thing. Recreation is not a bad thing. But be mindful that if all the time and energy and money and seeds are going to that, that's the area you're going to reap harvest in. You know, you could say it this way, whatever you give yourself to, you become proficient in. Or you could say it this way, whatever you give yourself to, that's the harvest you're going to reap from. Amen? You know, I could spend, I have to really be careful with the area of hunting. I mean, if it were just up to me, if there was no God, I'm prefacing these things so you don't think, oh my God, he doesn't even want to pastor me anymore. If there's no God, no Jesus, and we just existed here to do whatever we wanted, it would just be the exciting thing of my life to every day devote myself to learning how to be a better deer hunter. I mean cameras all over the woods. I mean food plots. I mean agriculture. I mean studying all day long, all year long. That would be what I want to do. And I got to be careful because if I start to go that way, even if I start watching television shows about it or reading articles about it, boy, my mind can just go and get off and really start sowing into an area that in reality, for my life, my health, my finances, my children, really doesn't do me a lick of good. But it's okay to enjoy hunting, just like it's okay to enjoy what you do. Maybe it's the lake. Maybe it's shopping. Whatever. I don't know. People have different things. But be aware that you're sowing into that realm, and that realm is a natural realm. That realm is a natural realm, but there's also opportunities to sow in the spiritual realm. Remember, if you sow to the Spirit, you reap life everlasting. What's sowing in the Spirit? word time, prayer time, praise God, right? Going, sowing into the right things financially of God to get a good return, to be a bigger blessing. Going to the church services that your pastor has, that he's telling you about, that you need to be in. That's, see, when you take time to come to a Wednesday night service, you're sowing a seed. You might not realize it. You're sowing a seed for your future. You see, what you're living today is from what you sowed yesterday. No, you need to realize that. Because that changes how you want to live tomorrow. Because the what you're living today is a product or a result of what you sowed in the yesterdays. It's true. So I want to, from this point on, I want to make it a point not to just cast. See, you don't want to become so spiritually good you're no earthly good. You know, Lord's given us these things to enjoy. You know, my pastor got into that, and he'll admit it. He got to the point where he wasn't doing anything naturally, and he got into a ditch and had to have a minister of God come in, straighten some things out, and help him. You know, he's so hungry for the things of God. But be aware that, you know, what you're sowing into, you will reap. And so I want to make sure, if the spirit realm determines the natural realm's success, then I need to make sure I'm sowing right into the spiritual realm. And again, say, what does that mean? It sounds confusing. It's not. It's going to being in church when you're supposed to be in church. That's sowing. You're sowing a seed for your life. When you spend time in the Word of God, when you spend time listening to the Word of God, when you spend time in His presence, seeking Him, you're sowing in that realm that's going to make the natural realm, the realm that you live and exist in, successful. Praise God. Hallelujah. So then, how do we make the transition from that natural realm of constantly sowing? Because I'm going to be completely honest with you, and I'm not, I just know this by the Spirit, that there are people. And if this is you, don't beat yourself up. Thank God, God doesn't put a big fat arrow over our heads for when we're talking about certain people and He says, that's that person, or that's that person. But, the truth is, I know there are people that the only spiritual sowing they have in their whole week is an hour and a half on Sunday mornings. I know people like that. That's the only time that they're sowing. And so, I don't know, how many hours are there in a week? 168? Is that how many? 24 times 7? About that? It's close, right? Somewhere around there. So you're thinking, what's that? 166 hours and a half sown into the carnal realm and 1.5 hours sown into the spiritual realm. And then we wonder, where's all this good stuff he's talking about every week? Yeah. See, the hour and a half that you spend on Sunday mornings, and maybe the hour and a half, well, we'll see how long we'll try to be quick tonight. How long you spend here on a Wednesday night is not enough to trump the 100-and-some hours that you're spending just sowing to the carnal. It's not enough to trump it. No, I'm not saying that you have to get into a thing where, okay, I got to have at least one more minute of spiritual. No, God understands you have a job. God understands you sleep. My goodness. But there's things we can do that we can up our sowing in our spiritual realm. So how do we make that transition from the natural to the spiritual realm? Well, number one, it's a choice. Let me say it again. It's a choice. The realm you live in and live out of is up to you. You make decisions every day of what you're going to sow into. You make decisions if you're going to sow into the natural or sow into the spiritual every single day. But you need to be aware of something. That transition from the natural realm, if you could say, boy, you know what? He's reading my mail. I'm that person. I don't touch my Bible during the week. I don't pray. I don't listen to any supplemental things that pastor recommends. I don't go to special services. I'm that person. Maybe you could honestly say, maybe that's why things are a little tough. Maybe that's why it just always seems like I'm fighting an uphill battle. If that's you, praise God. Well, this is your help tonight. And if it's not you, we can always do better if we are sowing into the spiritual realm. None of you are Jesus yet, just to let you know. Every single one of you has room for improvement. Your pastor has a lot of room for improvement. There's way more that your pastor doesn't know than he knows. I'd be glad, be more than happy to be honest to tell you that. It's the truth. And so, but here's what you need to know. Is that choice to sow into that unseen realm that'll make the seen realm successful will not go without a fight. It will not go without a fight. You say, tomorrow's a new day for me. I'm going to wake up and be spiritual tomorrow. You watch how much of a struggle. Your flesh isn't going to just say, yes, let's do that. Let's actually, I'm pretending I'm your flesh talking. Actually, Mike, let's Let's set the alarm an hour early. Let's see how much your body likes that. Let's actually skip a meal today and just pray, Mike. Your body's not going to do that. Your body is going to kick and scream. Oh, it's snowy. I worked all day. Let's just go to church tonight. That sounds like a lot of fun. Uh-uh. Galatians 5 and verse 17 tells us something very interesting that you need to be aware of. In Galatians 5 and verse 17, it says, "For the flesh lusteth," one translation says, "wars against the spirit." Do you see that there? "And the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you cannot do the things that you would." Listen, don't feel bad when you don't feel like coming to church. Yeah. Feel bad when you let your feelings get the best of you and you stay home. That's when you feel bad. Don't feel bad when you're not, when you would sit there and rather watch a 3-hour movie than read your Bible for 30 minutes. Yeah. Don't feel bad when you rather feel that way. Feel bad when you let that overtake you. Yeah. Of course, you know, I'm saying that lightly about feel bad. We don't want anybody to feel bad. But we want something to light a fire under your butt. Yeah. Get you going, someone in the right realm. I don't know what it will take. But notice that the Bible says that that realm, they're warring together. Yeah. That flesh, that carnal realm, that will cause you to reap destruction sowing into it. See, if I just stop my life and sow everything into the natural and hunting, my finances are going to go down the tubes. My kids are going to go down the tubes. The churches are going to go down the tubes, right? Because to sustain these things or to flourish these things, there has to be some sowing in that spiritual realm. And so we see that these things are against each other. They're fighting each other. Your flesh is going to kick against any spiritual activity that you start to try to go the direction in. You start to say, you know what, I'm going to make it an effort to every day have some time in the Word with God. Your flesh is going to fight you every step of the way. I'm going to make it an effort to spend a certain amount of time praying in tongues and building myself up and praying out mysteries and praying out the unknown. Your flesh is going to fight you on that every step of the way. I make it a point that when pastor says, you know, we need to go to these services, he wouldn't try to lead me wrong, and I might have to drive to Fredonia, I might have to drive to Jamestown or come out to my church in an evening, I'm going to make it a point to do that. You watch all the things that come up. You watch what your flesh tries to start telling you. Why? It's in a war. Yeah. Any activity or movement towards the right realm, your flesh is going to holler and holler and holler. And see where the problem is, and immature Christians are, they don't recognize that that's what happens. And they say, because it feels so wrong, because it feels so hard, I'm not going to go that realm. And the devil says, is that all I got to do? All I got to do is make them hungry and they won't pray? All I got to do is fill their mind with thoughts of all the laundry and all the things that needs to be done in the house? That's all I got to do to keep them out of God's presence? That's what he's saying. Because we start to go down those roads, you get there and you start praying, and oh, God, oh, you're thinking about the cake in the fridge. You weren't even hungry before you started praying. Or I'm going to make it a point to fast today and just spend time with God. And you won't, they'll be like the hungriest you've been all year. It's true. It's not by coincidence. It's like when people, they make it a point, I'm going to church. And oh man, they're the tiredest they've ever been that Sunday morning. Or all heck breaks loose in their life on Saturday night. Why? Trying to get you to back off the things of God. Because he knows that that's the realm that's going to produce. Well, look what it says in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. My hope is tonight that we all just do a little bit better tomorrow. Amen. That we make strides to just be a little bit better in these areas. Again, we got to make sure, especially if you're new to all this, God loves you as much as he's ever going to love you right now. Yeah. Not by you coming to church more, not by you reading your Bible more. Those things don't make God love you more. Those things help your life, but God already loves you as much as he's ever going to love you. He loves you just as much as if you read your Bible from now until next week at this time nonstop, pray from now until next week nonstop, make sure you're in every single church service. He loves you just as much as the person that says, I'm not going to touch my Bible ever again, I'm not going to pray ever again, and I'll never go to church ever again. Loves you the same. Yeah. Loves you the same. Amen. The sowing into the spirit realm doesn't change God, it changes you. Amen. And it's important to know that. Because it's not, well, because then you're, because if you just do a little bit better than you have been, your mind will say, well, you know what, I was hardly doing anything at all, and now a little bit better is hardly anything either, and God's mad at me. No. Doing a little bit better helps you out. God loves you being the carnal bucket that you are right now. Right? He died for you when you were the most carnal and worldly and fleshly you ever been. He died for you and loved you like you were His. Praise God. Well, 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. I'm so glad that even the Apostle Paul dealt with this. It helped me one time when my pastor told me, he said, Pastor Mike, 90-some percent of the things that I do, I don't feel like doing. I said, what do you mean? He says, if you think I feel like praying, you're wrong. If you think I feel like getting into the Word and spending all time in the Word, you're wrong. What the body would feel like doing is vegging out on a recliner with a bowl of popcorn all night long, right? Eat dinner and plop yourself down and sit there till you fall asleep, wake up 2 a.m, maybe grab some cereal and go back to bed. Little glimpse into my world sometimes. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when he said that, it helped me. A man so spiritual who has visions and revelation stands in 3 offices as apostle to this area, starting all these churches, and he's telling me that he doesn't feel like doing some of those things. But see, the thing that sets him apart is he doesn't go by his feelings. He can feel a certain way, but he doesn't let his feelings dictate what he does. And that's the mark of a spiritual person. Because the Apostle Paul said, now you don't get more spiritual than this guy. He said in verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 9, he said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Heather, can you bring up verse 27 in the Amplified? Listen to what Paul says about his body. See, Paul had a flesh just like you. Paul had a flesh that wanted him to be lazy and carnal just like you. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave. One translation says, I punch my body like a boxer, or I buffet my body like a boxer. I strike it with blow after blow. What does that look like? Well, I'm going to set the alarm 30 minutes early and I'm going to get up and I'm going to fill myself with the Word of God. Well, the alarm goes off, and in your mind shoots through, hit the snooze, you still got 30 minutes. This Word of God stuff can wait. Boom, you say, no, body, we're getting up and reading. You just bashed your body with a blow, a spiritual blow. Yeah. Or, you know what? I'm going to church this week. I'm going to church in these meetings. I'm going to be in Sunday service. I'm going to be at the midweek service. And then it comes along, you get busy, and you get a little bit tired, and you see the recliner, and you see the television, and you open the cupboards and there's the Jiffy Pop staring you right in the face. And you say, no, body, I'm so into the spiritual realm and I'm going to my appointment with God. What'd you do? You just struck your body with a blow. A spiritual blow. And he said, I buffet my body like a boxer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But like a boxer, I buffet my body. Handle it roughly. Discipline it by hardships. And subdue it, praise God. For fear that after proclaiming to others the gospel and the things pertaining to it, I myself should become unfit, not stand the test, be unapproved, or rejected as a counterfeit. Like a boxer. Handle it roughly. Discipline your body. Ooh, your body's already said, why'd you come tonight? What are you doing? There's plenty of things you could have been doing tonight. Why'd you got to go there? But until you get to the point where you start telling your body and your flesh no, you're not going to experience the deep things of God. Now, when I say this, don't you get into your mind, well, I got to do that to get the same results. No, different strokes for different folks. But Kenneth Hagin, who was as spiritual of a man that I know, he wanted to get into the deep things of God. So he prayed in the Spirit for an hour. And it was like nothing happened. And the devil said, what'd you do that for? What'd you do that for? That was a waste of time. Didn't have any revelation from God. And he said, oh yeah, devil. I'm just going to go ahead and I'm going to pray twice as long now. And he did. He prayed twice. At the end of praying twice as long, nothing happened. And the devil said, well, that was a big waste of time now, wasn't it? Now, you know, you get to pray it after 5 minutes and you're getting antsy. Yeah. And you're like, oh, man, I can't. This is hard, right? And so he says, I'll pray twice as long. So now he prays for 2 hours. Gets done praying for 2 hours. The devil says, what'd you get? Didn't get anything, did you? Didn't get anything. Didn't do a lick of good for you, did you? He said, okay, devil. Okay, body. You're going to be here now. I'm going to discipline you roughly, handle you roughly, put you through hardships. I'm going to pray twice as long as I just did. And I believe it was around the 4th or 5th hour of praying. He said, in his words, I hit a gusher. I crossed over. See, what one minister called it is, you have to cross over the veil of the flesh. God is not in the fleshy realm. God is in the spiritual realm. And if you're constantly in the natural realm, you'll never get into the deep things of God. Not saying you have to pray 5 hours straight. For Him and for His calling, it required that. Most people, it doesn't require that. It would benefit you. It always would benefit you to do more. But it's not. Don't get that in your mind that it's a set time. Or I heard one minister say, I wake up. There was one minister that was just having such an awesome set of meetings. Pastor Nancy was telling me about this one time, Dufresne. And she said, and then he said, I wake up every morning at 4 a.m. and I pray, and that's the key to it all. And she said, that's when she turned him off, because she said, ain't no way I'm getting up at 4 a.m. to pray. So she said, see, I'm gonna pray. See, because it's not in the religious, you have to do it at this time. God's not, there's nothing in the Word that tells you you got to be up at 4 a.m. to pray. See, that's putting religion, and there's nothing that your pastor's saying. You're never going to hear from God until you pray 5 hours. Don't let the devil tell you that. I'm just saying there has to come a point that you step over that fleshly realm, that when the flesh is getting so loud, you say, stop it. Zip it. Put some duct tape on that flesh and say, be quiet. I'm doing what I need to do. It's at those times when you step over that God can start to move. So don't get in your head, pastor said, I got to pray 5 hours to hear from God. No, that was his situation. But you know it. I mean, how many times have you been there? Where you go to pray and, you know, you say, I'm going to set aside an hour to pray to God and praise Him and worship. And after 15 minutes, man, you get done and you're like, I'm not going to look at the clock for an hour. And after 15 minutes is up and you think, oh, I have hung the moon. I probably went for an hour and a half. And you look and 15 minutes went by and you're like, what in the heck is going on? Did time just get slower? And then you just say, you know what? How many of us can be honest to admit we've all been there? You just give up the whole thing. Yeah. You give it up and you step right back into that corner and the devil says, gotcha. Gotcha. There has to be a step over into that spiritual realm. Well, Romans 8 and verse 5 gives us an indicator of how to do some of these things. Romans 8 and verse 5. And I am going to do my best to be done by 7:30. We have 21 minutes. I'm going to see what we can do here. Romans 8 and verse 5. Holy, there's a lot of notes left.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord. But you know what's awesome about being a pastor is some of these things, because we talked about on Sunday knowing God.
Yes.
Right? They that know God will be strong and do exploits. Acquaint yourself with Him now and be at peace. Well, it's one thing to know about God. It's another thing to enter into the realm that He's in and to start hearing from God.
Yeah.
And so I think we're going to be building on Sunday anyway. So if I don't get to this tonight, then we're going to just pick it up on Sunday and continue what we were looking at. So, but anyways, Romans 8 and verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. Now, a more modern translation says, they that are after the flesh, the reason is because they set their minds on the flesh. When it says they do mind the things of the flesh, it's saying that that's where their minds are set. So what it's saying is their thoughts are always geared in the natural realm. But they that are after the Spirit, they mind or set their mind on the things of the Spirit. Praise God. So it comes down to be able to transition, not only are we going to have to buffet our bodies, we are going to have to renew our mind to spiritual things. We are going to have to renew our minds to the fact that spiritual exercises, what do I mean by that? Going to church is a spiritual exercise. That's a sowing into the spiritual realm. Taking time to read the Word of God is a spiritual exercise. Taking time to pray, to build yourself up, to pray for the things of God is a spiritual exercise. We have to renew our minds to the fact that until we get our minds renewed, that that is vital, that it is necessary, that we can't live without it, then we won't do it. If it's optional to us, then we'll take the option, we'll take the path of least resistance. The path of least resistance always is going to be come here for an hour and a half, do nothing for a week, come here next week for an hour and a half, and hope that the pastor solves all my problems. That's the path of least resistance. And that's the way your flesh is going to want to go until your mind is renewed. See, if your mind's on the things of the Spirit, or what can I say it this way? A consciousness of the spirit realm. Being conscious of that realm, you'll live out of that realm. You'll live out of that realm. Colossians 3. In verse 1, praise God.
Amen.
And for those of you that are here on Wednesday night that have, you know, Fredonia's your church or whatever, you know, we have live stream. If we don't finish this all, you can get on live stream and pick up. Aren't you glad for technology? Some technology is really good. Colossians 3 and verse 1. Remember, the spiritual realm determines the blessings. Hallelujah. Hold your place there. Thank you, Lord, for bringing this up. This is very pertinent. 3 John 2, Heather, can you go there? Because I don't know if people maybe are convinced that the two have anything to do with one another. That really this sowing into the spiritual realm. 3 John 2, look at what it says. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. That's in the natural realm, isn't it? Prosper how? Well, there's lots of ways to prosper. Prosper financially. Prosper in your business. Prosper with your children. I don't consider myself very prosperous if I have all the money in the world and my kids aren't on board and they're, you know what I mean? Or if I have all the money in the world and I'm sick in body. So prosperity is not just a money thing. Or I'm tormented in my mind. I don't consider that prosperity. Prosper is a whole thing, not just money. We think about money a lot of times, and it's included, but that you may prosper and be in health. Two manifestations in the natural realm, but notice that it's dependent even as your soul prospers. If your soul doesn't prosper, you don't prosper naturally, and you're not in health naturally. See, the prosperity in your money, the prosperity in your family, the prosperity in your business, the prosperity in your body is all dependent upon your soul being prosperous. If your soul's not prosperous, then the natural realm won't be prosperous either. Well, the soul being prosperous doesn't come from a natural sowing, it comes from a spiritual sowing into. Hallelujah. That soul there is the mind, the will, and the emotions. Well, we just saw. Set your mind on things of the flesh, you'll be destroyed. Set your mind on things of the spirit. So if your mind is in that spiritual realm, focusing on those spiritual tasks, the importance of them, being conscious, you're going to prosper in that natural realm. Do you see that? Now I'll go back to Colossians 3 and verse 1. Praise the Lord. We're preparing ourselves to step out into a realm that's going to tick our flesh off. There's about to be a battle in your life. Hallelujah. But bring it on. Bring it on. Oh my gosh, I remember telling my pastor one time about praying in tongues. I said, Pastor, I try so hard to do it. This was years ago. But every time I do, my mind just starts a wandering and thoughts start to come. He says, What do you do when they do? I said, I stopped praying, and he laughed out loud. Like it made him laugh. He said, Oh, that's all the devil has to do to you, huh? Think about it. That's all he has to do to you. That's all he has to do. I said, yeah, I guess that's all he's got to do to me. I'll change. And that's when he went in and started teaching me some of this stuff. Praise God. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Now here it is, verse 2. Set your. This isn't a spouse problem. This isn't a kid problem. This isn't a pastor problem. This isn't a job problem. It's a you problem. Can we just say it's a me problem? Just say it's a me problem. Oh, we don't like that. We like to pass the buck to everybody else and blame everybody else why things are going. No, do something about your life. Do something about your life. Get connected with God and never look back and watch Him change you. Everyone else in your family might be going down the tubes. Everything else in your situation might be wrong and out of control and people that you know and family that you know, but you're going to thrive. Because your prosperity, your blessing, your peace, your joy is not dependent upon a dad, upon a mom, upon a spouse, upon an uncle, a cousin, a sister, an aunt. It's dependent upon you. So take ownership of your life tonight. Take ownership of your life tonight. Now, if you're a kid and you live with some of these people, there are some things and limitations. But still, God can bless you in the midst of those things. You know, maybe you're not old enough to move out or whatever. But God can bless you in the midst of those. But still, there's a day coming. There's a day coming, praise God, hallelujah. Start sowing into the right realm. Amen. Set your affection, one translation says, set your mind. There it is, the mind again. On things above, not on things of the earth. Wow. What if we did a litmus test to our own lives or really put the microscope on ourselves? What are we thinking about all the time? Are we thinking about our business and our work all the time? There's a time and place to be thinking about your job. There's a time and place to be thinking about carrying out natural tasks. But man, does our thoughts ever get consumed with God and the things of God and the plan of God and the Word of God? Set your mind. See, it's up to you where your mind is set, praise God. So, in starting, we won't finish this all tonight, but anyways, in starting this to get our minds to that place, what to think on, I want to start to give you, and I'll probably pick it up on Sunday, what to think on and what to renew your minds to in this transition from the carnal to the spiritual. I want to read this story in this book by Pastor Nancy. It says, I once heard a minister tell of a miracle that happened under his ministry while he was on a trip overseas. A man in one of his healing lines had an arm that had been severely crushed. Doctors were unable to repair the damage. They were only able to put a metal rod in the arm to act as a bone. It was a poor substitute for the bone, but it was his only alternative. The rod ran the entire length of the lower arm, extending through the wrist, leaving no wrist joint for him to bend. The rod was easily visible under the skin on the top of the hand. When this minister prayed for the man's arm, the wrist began to bend. God had either replaced the rod with bone and joint, or caused the rod to hinge and operate as a bone and joint. Basically, the guy couldn't bend his wrist. All of a sudden, he got hands laid on him, and it's bending. So something happened. After hearing this testimony, a pastor asked the speaker, to what do you attribute this kind of power in your ministry? Now listen to what this minister, who just had a miracle of God happen, I mean, that's a miracle. When a rod is stuck in your arm so you can't bend it, hands are laid on you, and you can do this, not normal. Not normal. Listen, he said, to what do you attribute this kind of power in your ministry? He replied, Jesus is with me and in me. So I speak to him constantly as if I could visibly see him beside me. He is more real to me than anything else that I see. What's he saying? He had a consciousness of a spiritual realm more than he had of the natural realm. Jesus, that unseen realm, was more real to him than this pulpit I can slap my hand on. And because he had that much consciousness of Jesus, he had no problem commanding a wrist to be healed and to start to bend, because he knew that's what his Savior's in the business of doing. I love that. Jesus is with me and in me, so I speak to him constantly as if I could visibly see him beside me. He is more real to me than anything else I see. I would guarantee that's not the case for a lot of us, if not all of us. Praise God. More real to him. Well, what did he do? Took time to renew his mind to that unseen realm. Took time to put his thoughts and his focus on that unseen realm. What did he do? He meditated on certain verses. See, all renewing the mind is taking God's thoughts and making them your thoughts. So when God says something in his word, that's what you believe. Regardless if that's what the natural says, like for example, money. The Bible says you're blessed. The Bible says you have more than enough. Now, sometimes it won't look like that naturally. But the Bible, in renewing your mind, tells you to say, that's the thought I take for my life. I am the rich of the Lord when you are the poorest you've ever been. When you take those thoughts, faith rises up on the inside of you. And you become conscious of that realm. Just like that realm was yelling at him, what are you doing? There's a metal rod in that guy's arm. But see, the spirit realm was yelling, all things are possible, Jesus. Ain't nothing too hard for him. And he was more conscious of that realm, so he bought into that realm more than the natural realm. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. He was ever conscious. Now get this now. Talk about that spiritual realm. He was ever conscious of the presence of God. See, you need to renew your mind. Heather, if you'd go to Hebrews 13 and verse 5, you need to renew your mind to this verse. To become more conscious of that spiritual realm. Praise God. And we will close here in a few minutes. I'm going to be done here. We're going to hold off till Sunday. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things that you have. For he has said, now listen to what God has said. I will never, say never. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never leave you nor forsake you. That means he's with you whether you recognize it or not. Whether you give any onus to it or emphasis to it, he's with you regardless. I got a revelation of this. I took my cousin Sarah turkey hunting one day, and turkey hunting you can go from, you know, time sunup comes till noon in the spring. And I took her, and I got this revelation. She loved going with me. We helped get her born again, and I think she got saved one time I was preaching in Jamestown. Her life turned around. She moved in with us for a year. And she loved to hunt with me and be around me, and we went turkey hunting, and you know, I just joke around with her all the time, talking with her, and I got a revelation. She's with me this whole time from dark until noon. How weird would it be to not talk to her?
Yeah, that's good. Come on.
That would be awkward, and it would be weird, and she'd wonder what the heck's going on.
Yeah.
People do it with God every single day,
right.
But you're not aware of that realm. He's with you all the time. And a bill comes in and you start talking like God's nowhere to be found. He's right with you.
Amen.
Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. The one who's got all the cattle on 1,000 hills is his. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof. He's got the riches of heaven. He stinking paves his stinking streets that you walk on with your dirty, stinky feet with gold.
Amen.
But yet the bills come and it's like, oh, going under now, and God's with you.
Yeah. Amen.
Wow. You got Jehovah Rapha, the Lord will heal you. In a doctor's report comes or symptoms come on your body, say, oh, how am I going to make this one? And the healer was with you the whole time, but you weren't aware of it.
Yeah, that's good.
We start talking doubt and unbelief, and the most faith-filled person you ever have is with you all the time.
Amen.
You're not aware of that.
Good verse.
You haven't renewed your mind to that verse.
Yes.
You know, Lord really dealt with me one time on this. It's all right if I tell on myself. You don't think different of me, do you? When I tell on all the bad things I do. But I want to give you an example of how we will live differently if we're not aware of this verse. And I don't just mean that when we know what that verse says. I mean we are conscious from the time our eyes open till the time we go to sleep. We know God is with us.
Amen.
That's having a consciousness of that unseen spiritual realm that will cause the natural realm to be blessed. I had Pastor Michael, this was I think in 2004, or 2005. There's still a lot of dumb that needs to be worked out of me, but I was a lot dumber back then. So don't think that, you know, think some things have gotten better. Praise the Lord, there's hope.
Amen.
I'll tell you, there's hope for me, there's hope for you. You think I'm just saying that I'm serious. If there's hope for me, there's hope for you. Pastor Michael came over for dinner, and boy, did I become husband of the year. Oh, pulling the chair out for my wife. Waiting on her and serving her and calling her names and different things and different terms of endearment that I've never used. And Pastor Michael's there. He's eating dinner with me. And I just look like I'm thinking he's got to think that this guy should win the award of the best husband that I pastor. And I'm talking about picking up the plates and doing just things that normally maybe I just take for granted, doing the dishes and doing all these things, being so sweet in my the way I talk to her and interact. And the Lord, Holy Ghost said to me when he left, "Why'd you do that?" And I answered honestly, and I didn't understand at the time what he was getting. I said, "Because my pastor was here." And the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, "I'm with you always. I'd never leave you. How much more should you act differently for God than for a man?" If a man, see, I was aware of his presence and it caused me to act different. It caused me to talk different, caused me to act different, it caused me to think different. I don't even want to think a bad thought in the presence of my pastor because he's a prophet. And I don't want him to get into my thought realm with them and say, "What are you thinking about?" I don't know. You know, they used to say when Brother Hagin would go into meetings that everybody would clean their act up and get right because he didn't want them to find out anything. They'd repent for everything. They start repenting for things they didn't even do. Yeah.
That's good.
And so I'm around him. I'm thinking, "My God, Lord, forgive me." How would it change our life if we became conscious that God is always around? I'll tell you, it'd clean up some of the sin that's hindering us. Now listen, sin, thank God there's a payment for sin. And there's forgiveness for sin. But it would help us. It would clean up the doubt and unbelief that comes out of our mouth.
That's true.
It would clean up the love walk issues that we have with people.
That's good.
I mean, I'll just be honest. I could be in Walmart with my pastor walking down an aisle and have the worst enemy in my life come by me. And I'll tell you what, if he's with me, I'm going to be so sweet to him. Whereas if he's alone, maybe you'd give a look. Or maybe you'd say something. Or maybe you'd ignore. I don't know. But how much more for God?
Amen.
How would it help you when it comes to fear? I used to be such a chicken in the dark. Walk into my stand in the morning. Oh my gosh, I'd just get so sweaty going there because I'd get so worked up. Oh Lord, I can't see anything. What am I going to do? But when I would go with a friend and we'd break off, like he's dropped me off at a stand and then show me where to go or something, I'd never have any fear at all. The Lord said, why are you afraid by yourself? I'm with you. I got more power than he's got. I got more ability than he's got, but see, it's not having that mind. It's not. Yeah. Praise God. If Donald Trump was with you and they said, you know what, I'm going to go with you for a week, anything that comes up, I got my checkbook, we'll write that. Well, you wouldn't care if truck car broke down. You wouldn't get down about it. I said, oh, Donald's got this. It's true. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth here. If something happens, you're not moping and complaining. Why? Got Donnie. Old Donnie boy in his checkbook, right?
Yeah.
But God, we just think, well, he must have just went and hid under a rock. He's there the whole time.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
A life in the Spirit. Now listen to this, and we're going to close in a few minutes. A life in the Spirit is a life mindful of God's presence. Let me say it again. A life in the Spirit realm is a life that's mindful of God's presence.
Amen.
Living more conscious of God than anything else. I'm going to give you a few examples. What your homework is until Sunday is to meditate on Hebrews 13:5. Not from the standpoint that God's with me, I better not watch that show. But maybe you wouldn't watch that show that's doing you no good if God was with you. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, there's certain things I just won't do if my pastor's right there with me. Right? But not from the standpoint of legalism and all this and that. From the standpoint of, I need to be more aware that he's around because it's going to benefit me. He's there for me. He's my help. He's my help in time of need. Praise God. Praise Psalm 25 and verse 15. So your homework is to think, to get your mind renewed that God's always with you. To start a conversation with him. Praise God. Psalm 25. In verse 15, what did David say? My eyes are ever towards the Lord. Do you see that? Continual. My eyes are ever. I love what Smith Wigglesworth said. He was an apostle early 1900s. Changed the world. You might not know about him. We'll get some of the stuff in here and more examples about him. But I mean, raised, I think, a confirmed 8 or 9 people from the dead. Changed the world. Every time he would eat a meal, he'd read the Word of God too. Every time he put something in his mouth to feed himself naturally, he'd feed himself spiritually. Smith Wigglesworth said this. He said, I don't pray for more than 15 minutes at a time, but I don't go 15 minutes without praying. Let me say it again. I don't pray for more than 15 minutes at a time, but I don't go more than 15 minutes without praying. What's he saying? I don't go more than 15 minutes without conversing with the one who always is with me. See, Sarah and I might be sitting against a tree and it's morning and the sun's coming. We might not talk for 15 minutes, but we're not going more than 15 minutes probably without talking that day. Right? Same with God. What is that? Trying to be legalism? No, having a mindset that he is there. And that changes everything when he's there. Changes everything when he's there. And we'll close with this verse, Psalm 27 and verse 8. Actually, Heather, can you just pull that right up in the Amplified? It just saves some time here. Psalm 27 verse 8 says, you have said, seek my face, inquire for and require my presence. Now notice this, as your optional need. Does it say that? Require my presence as your vital need.
Amen.
My heart says to you, your face, your presence, Lord, will I seek, inquire for, and require of necessity and on the authority of your word. Two words there. Necessity and vital.
Yeah.
That God's presence, what is God's presence? Spiritual sowing into that spiritual realm. That it's your vital need. You know, and that's what we're going to start to look at on Sunday morning. Is, because that's where I was going to go tonight. See, sometimes when I'm doing this, I'm thinking, oh man, we'll get that done in no time. And then I go home like, whoa, man, we didn't get even close. But Sunday, we're going to start picking up. How do we inquire of God's presence to get... See, what we want to do until Sunday is renew our mind that we need it, renew our mind that He's there. But getting to the point where we say to our flesh, okay, whatever He says to do that says in the Word that's going to put me in that spiritual realm, I'm going to start making an effort to go that way. My cousin, and I'm closing the Bible to show you that I really am done. My cousin was struggling naturally, the same one. And I know natural struggles, the majority of the time, if not all of them, are a result of a spiritual issue because they manifest in the natural. And so I asked her, I didn't say, well, is this going on in the bank account? Is this going on in are you doing this naturally? Are you making these? No. I said, are you fill in the blank doing this, and they were spiritual activities. I asked her. She said, no, I'm not. I said, it's not a surprise that it's manifesting like this. And she gave a million and one reasons, like your flesh would, of why those spiritual activities couldn't happen. And I said, I want to ask you a question. What does your mom have to do several times a day that she does not have a choice of whether she wants to or not? She says, dialysis. She's got to hook up to the machine and do dialysis. What will happen if she won't? She'll get really sick and probably end up dying. I say, so you're telling me, and she told me all the time, I said, so you're telling me your mom has to wake up every day in the middle of the night, set the alarm to do something, regardless of how she feels or how convenient it is to stay alive? She said, yes. I said, that's what David was talking about when he said that your presence is vital and it's a necessity. Dialysis is a necessity and it's vital under life. Feelings and convenience don't even play a part or don't even have a role in the equation. You just have to do it. And I said, you need to do these spiritual activities. You need to look at them. The Lord gave me this. I'm not this smart. I said, you need to look at these spiritual activities the same way as your mom looks at dialysis, that you have to have them. Doesn't matter about time. Doesn't matter about tiredness. Doesn't matter. It's vital that you seek His presence. So starting Sunday, we're going to start showing you the easy and simple ways to get into that presence of God or that supernatural spiritual realm. So if you can't, you guys obviously can't be here with Fredonia. Just if you want to hear the part two, just get on our archives. But let's go ahead and let's pray. Father, oh, we do love You so much. Oh, Lord, we're just trying to grow and to step into more and to become stronger in our faith, become more knowledgeable about You. Father, I know You're trying to move us into things, Father God. You're attempting to promote us in things of the Spirit and things naturally, Father. Well, we're going to have to press in. We're going to have to jump out of that carnal realm that doesn't produce any harvest, any good harvest, I should say. So, Father, thank You for tonight's message, Lord. And, Father, we repent. I repent for times like dinner time, Lord, that I had with my pastor. I've long since repented for that, but Lord, there's been other times where it's like You weren't even to be found. It's like You didn't even exist. It's like You weren't even real, the way I would live my life, the way I would talk, the way I would act, Father. It's like You're not even anything to do with my life, yet You were with me the whole time. Father, we repent for those things, and we want to become more mindful. We want to become more mindful that You're with us, that You're never leaving us, not because it's like a Santa Claus thing where we're just so afraid to mess up. No, we know that there's mercy for the mess ups. But Father, so we can take advantage of that. We can get into that realm that will bring such blessing to us and to people. And we love You tonight. And Father, we just, the Bible says if we agreed, an effective prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available. Let's just right now, if you we're going to pray in the Spirit here in a second. Hallelujah. Let's just lift up the mucks right now. Father, we just lift up Steve and Sandy and Allison, the brothers, Father God, family members, aunts, uncles, grandpas, and grandmas to You, Father. And Lord, we just pray that You surround them with faith and love. And Father, we just ask that the power of God would be working in their lives. Father God, be a real, tangible presence and force in their life this week, Father God. Lord, make it so they it's almost like they can't figure out how they're doing so good. Father, enlighten their eyes to the fact that Nick is no longer in any kind of pain, if he was in pain, if it, any kind of worldly trouble, anything at all negative that the world could bring. Help them to know, Father, that he is in peace. He is in heaven. He is in joy. He is with Jesus. He is completely free in mind and body. Whatever, anything, everybody has something in their life. Anything that was in his life, Father, those things are free. He's gained what we're hoping to gain someday, that we will gain someday. Help them to know that, Father. May heaven be a reality unto them, Father God. And Lord, we'll give you the praise and the glory. We agree on that prayer right now, Father God. Grant unto them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Father, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, that they would know the hope of your calling and the riches of glory of your inheritance in the saints, Father, and the exceeding greatness of your power towards them who believe according to the working of your mighty power, which you wrought in Christ when you raised him from the dead and set him at your own right hand in the heavenlies, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but that which is to come. And Father, we also pray for them that you'd grant unto them according to the riches of your glory, that they'd be strengthened with might by your Spirit in their inner man, that Christ would dwell in their heart by faith, that they'd be rooted and grounded in love, and that they'd be able to comprehend with all the saints the width, the length, the height, and the depth. And Father, that they would know the love of Christ. Oh my goodness, Lord, that they would know your love this week and going forward. Father, when all the visits stop and all the text messages stop and all the cards stop, that they would know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge, and that they'd be filled with the fullness of you. We thank you right now for supernatural peace, supernatural healing, supernatural comfort. In Jesus' name, amen. I know I said we're going to pray in the Spirit, but I felt released just to pray that prayer and just agree on that and be done with it. So praise the Lord. Well, we know what we got to do. We'll look more into that on Sunday morning. Have an awesome rest of the week. You're dismissed. We'll see you later.